This is Will's Band of the Week for August 30th, 2020. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Barrett from Back... No, wait. Nicholas has Backyard Studios. We never got a name for your studio, Barrett.
I'd say I'm in Guest Room Studio.
Guest Room Studio. Okay.
Yeah. Well, coffee studio?
No, not this time.
He's got multiple studios. You know, the one where with the birds chirping, that one was very impressive. And Jeremiah from, what studio are you in today, Jeremiah?
I'm in the Santa Fe Bureau studio, the satellite Santa Fe Bureau. Yep.
Okay, well, that's good. I still think it needs a catchier name, though. But we've been working on that.
Right. What Bobcat could we do, studio, like the Bobcat studio? Exactly.
That's not bad. That's pretty good.
Bobcat studio or the studio of enchantment, right?
that's not bad.
State motto is the land of enchantment. Wow. We usually refer to it as the land of entrapment, but
entrapment. Oh, it's a perfect one.
If it gets its claws into you, you kind of never can leave.
So we're back after a catastrophic failure last week. That's what I'm characterizing it as. So Barrett and I were going to record, then we had some scheduling issues, and then we were kind of a day behind on the recording, and then some terrible cable guy disconnected our internet when he was doing some work across the street on the house across the street. We figured that out later. So we had no internet for like 24 hours. And it would have been longer, but we made very aggressive demands to get them to reconnect it. It's like, first they were like, it was Monday that this happened, Monday afternoon, because Baird and I were going to record Monday night. And then, so when we called the company, they said, yeah, we can get somebody out there on Friday. And it's like, well, okay, we have no, our phone is an internet-based phone, you know, VoIP, I guess it's called. So we would have no phone, no computer, no TV, no nothing for a week. We were like, wow. No, you can't do that. Come on. So, they were able to come out the next day, and so back in business now. I could have recorded something, but then of course I wouldn't have been able to put it up right away, and then I don't know, it was too much of a hassle to try to do an episode. I'm sure the listeners are really hurting right now not having an episode, though, right?
Yeah, it was devastating in my week, that's for sure.
So but we've got, I mean, it'll be worth the wait. So let's brag about the episode before we even start talking about anything.
That's what we do best, right?
Yeah, this one's gonna be a barn burner.
A barn burner. You know,
if we enter the any kind of awards shows and stuff this year, this will be the one that we send in as our self nomination.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, or we wouldn't even have to nominate it. Just people will just nominate us for it. Yeah.
Right.
We didn't even know we were going to have Jeremiah until about, I don't know, 14 hours ago. So I'm sure he's been cramming listening to all the music, right?
Exactly. Oh my goodness. Yeah, it's been a busy week. Crazy times. So had to like jump on when I can. Don't miss the bus.
Yeah, since we are not refraining from the occasional political reference, I'll mention that when Barrett told me he couldn't make it the other night, I said, thanks a lot. Now I get to watch Donald Trump. So I blamed Barrett for the fact that I was going to have to watch terrible politics.
You didn't actually do it then, did you?
I probably watched a little bit of it. But yeah.
Maybe it was a blessing from above that your internet went out during the Republican convention.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true. It probably saved me some angst.
Yeah.
Well,
it looked like a show, that's for sure.
We don't want to focus on unpleasant things. We should focus on pleasant things like good music, right?
Right.
Exactly.
Since we have so much, maybe we don't need any special features.
Special features. Yeah, there was, well, does anybody have a live report?
Definitely not.
Any ASMR stuff to talk about?
Right. No, you didn't fly down to New Zealand for a couple shows?
No.
Come back?
No.
They wouldn't let you in.
Yeah, the Beths did a tour, right? I think then New Zealand also kind of shut down the live shows again for a while. See, they shut things down after they get like a dozen cases and are like, they're shutting it down. We get like, we have 10,000 to their dozen, you know?
Right.
Oh, God.
Ugh. Yeah, no, I thought that they had kind of basically like went almost to zero, but maybe there's a new little spike or something. So.
Right.
But, I think it was a small spike. What I'm realizing. Like, gosh, like, I mean, 2020 is a doozy anyway, right? I mean, it's just the year that just keeps on giving.
And, right.
But especially the live music. Oh, my God. I can't believe how much that was a part of my life and how that being absent is really strange and difficult.
Yeah.
But, isn't it wild for you guys, too, or not? I don't know.
Well, I don't think Baird and I never went to as many live shows as, like, you and Craig. But I'm definitely still feeling it, like, just not being able to go to any.
Right.
Yeah, just something to look forward to every couple of weeks or every month or something, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
For me, this would be just kind of I'd be in a little bit of a slump, like I hadn't seen anything in a while. But it wouldn't be, you know, unheard of.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Baird and I did, with our wives, we went out to the Memorial Union Terrace, which was doing reservations and tables that are really spread apart. And it was really cool. And we were in the location where Baird and Chris got the Jordy Greep promo recording. So I was like, I felt like I was in a historic place.
Yeah, that was pretty exciting. Just to be back there and relive that moment.
Right.
Right. Oh, my gosh.
Just came flooding back to me. I was almost overcome.
Yeah.
So it's not as she as it sounds then, I guess, if they have punk bands play, right?
Well, it's outdoors.
Right.
And I don't know, it's got a pretty nice stage, I'd say. It's not a typical venue for a show like Black Midi, I would say. Usually they'd have like something that's a bit more of a crowd pleaser, like some gypsy swing band or something like that.
Yep.
Playing at the terrace. But they've got some pretty good shows there too.
That's great. Oh my gosh. Yeah, I was getting a little worried about you and Chris, you know, going to the wine bar. I was worried about we were maybe going to lose some of our indie rock cred or something, you know. You guys are like, went by the brewery to the wine club instead, or wine bar.
Yeah, maybe Chris should have kept that under wraps. That didn't make us...
Yeah, that might have been wise.
You'd be like, like if we had done a live report of a Joel concert.
Right, exactly. You know.
It's not that you can't do it, but you really shouldn't talk about it.
No, you just shouldn't. No. Keep that stuff under wraps. If you attend a Billy Joel concert, just don't tell anybody. Oh. Well, okay, now we've killed enough time to justify the reasonable level of banter so that we can get into the music. So we've got a newer thing and then two vault selections. It's gonna be exciting. And so let's follow our usual pattern, and we'll talk about the new thing first. So I found out about this band from my son Jackson, who does not publicize bands very often, and he's kind of quiet, so he's not the kind of guy that would want to come on the podcast. But he told me about this band called Your Boyfriend Sucks from China. He said, "Oh, you might kind of like this band." So we were going somewhere in the car, and we played it, and I thought, that's pretty cool. This is good. This is a fun discovery. So they have two EPs, one from 2016 and one from this year. I think that the Only the 2016 one is on the streaming services, at least the last time I checked. So I had to pay a whopping $3 to get the newer one. I think I paid $3 for each of them. The first one's episode 01, and the second one is episode 02. And they're actually easy to search for because it's Your Boyfriend Sucks with no spaces and an exclamation point on the end. So if you type that in, you can find them. So, well, we'll get you guys' impressions. Why don't we start with a track? I'm going to play something. What I did is I decided in my own mind that I would make this one album by combining the two EPs. So, but this is from the newer one, the 2020 release. The titles are all in Chinese, but most of them also have an English translation. So this one's called House Music. Your Boyfriend Sucks.
It's yeah. Great. That would be confusing at a party, right? Your Boyfriend Sucks is great. What? Yeah, how fun is that, huh? Good stuff.
From Guangzhou, China. Were you guys familiar, before I just mentioned that, with Guangzhou, China?
I've heard of it before because I think it's really a big city, but I don't know necessarily where it is. I think it's more in the south somewhere.
So that's
yeah. I don't know anything about it.
Okay, so Jeremiah, your knowledge was much better than mine because I had never heard of it. So of course I had to look it up, and this is fun to for me to look up where bands are from. So it's really pretty close to Hong Kong, but it's not part of Hong Kong. But here's the fascinating thing: the population of Guangzhou is roughly 15 million.
Right, yeah. You know, it's like I thought it was big, like 10 million or 8 million.
Wow. Good
Isn't God, that just 15? Unbelievable?
Two New York cities.
Yeah, I did this with Japan once, where I went through and just looked at the map and at the big population centers, and I was amazed at how many multi-million population cities there are that we've never heard of. In China, it's just insane. You know, you hear about how, you know, it's got a huge population, obviously, so there have to be a lot of big cities, but wow. So I did see one video of Your Boyfriend Sucks apparently playing in a, you know, a pretty big venue with quite a few people. Like, I don't know, it looked like there must have been like 1,000 people all just packed in there. So,
right. Well, a city of 15 million, you don't need that many fans. You don't need much of a percentage of fans.
Right.
Right.
And who knows what kind of music scene might be there that we know nothing about. It's just kind of fascinating.
Yeah, there was the only thing, I couldn't really find anything about them, but they listed some other bands that they played with at their kind of reunion show, so I want to check out them too. Sounds interesting. I'm sure there's just, so many, like you were saying, just tons of bands that we never heard of. And did either of you guys ever get a chance to listen to any of those that list of indie music from China that I forwarded on? It was a while ago, but I think it was like that email was maybe a little daunting.
I think I listened to some of it. Yeah.
I sampled through some of it, but I can't remember any of the specifics.
Yeah, there was, I want to go revisit that and just see if there's anything still kind of resonates, but I think it was like 100 bands or something. And then
wow.
I filtered. Yeah, it was like a compilation of like 100 songs of different bands, and then I liked about 20, I think, or 25 really seemed worthwhile listening to, or was just, my style more. There's a lot of good stuff that was just different style, but these guys are so fun. Oh my God, that song was like super jangly, right? And then it's just they have some different styles just to, even in a small EP.
Some of it is sort of goes into kind of the dream poppy thing. So I was wondering whether Chris would like it. First I thought, yeah, he's going to love this because it's got some of that Beth's poppy sensibility. But then sometimes it goes into the shoegazier type stuff too. So I don't know. I like just about all of it. Barrett, did you get a chance to listen to either of these EPs?
I only listened to the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And the first track on the first EP is a cover of a song I really like by the Jesus and Mary Chain. So let's give that a spin if I've got a choice.
Yeah, I think if you start your first EP with a cover, it better be good. And I think this one is really great, Just Like Honey. Love it. That's a great example of a cover where you do something a little different with it, and totally works.
Yeah, slowed it down and quieted it way down.
Yep.
But yeah, it was nice.
That was a good one, that's for sure. They kind of go between that kind of, like that shoegazy stuff and, like you said, a little more poppy sounds. Or
yeah.
Even the one that Will picked was just so kind of jangly. Like, I hadn't really noticed that as much before, too. So
mm-hmm.
Right in our group of what we love.
I think so. Jeremiah, do you have a pick?
Yeah, I'm going to go a little, I guess, like on the harder side. Pick track number one on the second EP, 3,000 Mile Run.
Yeah, I like that one too. That's sort of stadium shoegaze, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, on that one, I think the Jesus and Mary Chain influence kind of shows up with that, you know, kind of classic pop.
Yeah.
Just the buzzsaw guitar going in the background.
Right.
So, yeah.
That's fun.
It's good. Very, you know, I think we chose a good variety of the stuff that they do.
Yeah, I think so too. Yep, well, maybe they'll come to South by Southwest 2023, right?
Yeah.
Well, maybe we'll be there. They'll have their third, their episode 303 will be out by then. And, oh boy.
Hey, hopefully they stay together. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
It seemed like they kind of split up for a few years and then went and did like a reunion show, and they got such a like a response that they kind of decided to finish up their second EP. So hopefully they'll keep rolling.
Right.
Good.
I do have to give one warning though. If you're at work and listening to this podcast and you think to yourself, maybe I'll go on Twitter, see what kind of a Twitter presence they have. I don't know if any of you guys did that, but that's not something you want to have pop up on your computer at work. I don't think it's associated with the band at all.
So would you try?
There's a Boyfriend Sucks handle on Twitter, but
it's not good, huh? Okay.
Right, yeah, or like any of the...
That can be scary, yeah.
Anything with like hashtag your boyfriend sucks, like, yeah, definitely not. Most of it won't be concerning this band.
No. But, yeah. So they've got a small footprint on the internet, but we can change that a little bit, right?
Right.
Just a tiny bit.
Yeah. They might have a big footprint in China. Who knows, right? It seems like China's kind of sequestered from Western civilization sometimes,
right.
Internet-wise. So, yeah. Hopefully we won't get into trouble by featuring them. I don't think
we will. Right. We should, yeah, hopefully we don't get censored, right, by featuring them. We might be, like, considered, like, Huawei or something. Or
we might have to pay some tariffs or something, right?
Right. $1,000 tariff for each podcast. Right. Yeah.
Right. We should be manufacturing these Chinese shoegaze bands in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Maybe we could start a label for just the cool Chinese bands to distribute them here. That could be a huge money maker, right?
Exactly. Maybe.
I don't know. Whatever those ways of
Will's band, Will's label, right? What would it be? Will's band records?
I guess so.
Fourth bedroom records.
Yeah, there are a lot of possibilities. Fourth bedroom records. It's not bad.
It's kind of like Third Man records, fourth bedroom.
And then the whole, you know, the bedroom thing kind of goes for the, it's like an indie rock thing, right? Bedroom recordings. So, we could compete with Jason's label. We could like put all kinds of messages out there. You know, we are better than Painted Blonde, and then, you know, start a big rivalry and tell people to buy stuff from us and not from him. Right.
And the more it escalates, the more it helps each side, really. So.
It's a zero sum game. If you spend your money on his stuff, you can't spend it on ours, and therefore you have to buy it from us.
Right.
Okay. Good enough. Let's, I think it's time. Isn't it time now?
Sure.
Seems like it.
Move on, right?
Yep. Here we go. It's got to be in here somewhere.
Oh my god, I can't believe I still got this.
Wow, when this came out, I was still in diapers, and David was already getting laid.
All right, we're going to reach back into the vault, and, well, Baird and I each have a pick, but Baird's is further deep in the vault, so let's start with his.
Okay. All right. I would have thought that as we were walking back to retrieve mine, we'd just pass yours. We might as well pick it out, but let's walk all the way back there and get mine.
It's dark all in right. here, man. How can you guys see what you're looking at?
Well, we used our flashlights on our phones.
Yeah.
It was just enough light to be able to see it.
Here it is. Back in the 1978 annex, it's the debut by Susie and the Banshees, a London band, and the album is called The Scream. Came out in August 1978, so 42 years ago. That's when it was recorded. Came out in November. But I don't know, I hadn't heard this until like a couple of years ago. Susie and the Banshees is just always one of those bands that you hear a lot about. You know, I knew their second album called Kaleidoscope, and it's okay. It's a lot different. And knowing that, I never really understood why people describe them as post-punk, because that one just really isn't. But on this first one, they certainly were. One of the very early bands in that style. So I listened to it, and I thought this would be a really good thing for the podcast. There must be a lot of other people out there that just kind of know more about Susie and the Banshees than they know the music. So does that describe you guys, or did you know this album ahead of time?
I didn't know this album at all. I had heard little bits here and there of Susie and the Banshees, and I'm kind of like you, where they just seemed like they had cred and they were cool, and I think they sort of just predated my taste in this kind of music, and I just didn't go back. But it was definitely fun going back and listening to this one. I don't think I knew any of the songs. They had a song like a few years later called Cities in Dust, right? That was like on their, maybe their fourth album. And it was, I remember it was on 120 Minutes, the MTV alternative rock show.
Right.
And I always thought that was cool. Yeah, the other thing that they get, they don't they get described as goth?
Yeah, I think they were, when you listen to it, it's got elements of a lot of different things in there. There's, you know, it's kind of a proto-goth thing, post-punk. And both of those terms wouldn't have been thrown around back when this album came out. You know, it's a little punky. It's got new wave elements. It's just kind of all over the place. So maybe it came out early enough that they didn't, feel that they had to choose a certain style and stick with that, with, you know, kind of some well-worn path and, you know, make music in a certain genre. They were just kind of making the music that came to them. So, yeah, I really like it. I really like it quite a bit.
Well, let's play a track.
All right. The song I'm going to start with is number 4. It's called Carcass.
Susie and the Banshees. Yeah, that's definitely one of the really good ones.
Yeah, and that one is kind of more of a, you know, early English punk sound. You know, it sounds like it could be, you know, kind of a quieter song by The Damned or Chelsea or something. But some of the other ones, like you said, are more into that goth sort of zone. But you brought up being at the Union the other day, and I could tell that you wanted, there's something about this album that you wanted to talk about. You said, let's not talk about it until we get to the podcast. Which it seems like you really had something to say about it. And I think I have a guess as to what it might be.
Oh, really? I think it was just what I just said.
Okay.
No, it's like you're gonna ascribe something a lot more intelligent than what I actually was going to say.
All right.
But why don't you tell me what you thought I was going to say?
Well, I thought you were going to say that In Spots it reminded you of the Yeah, Yeah, Yeah's.
Oh, wow. That makes sense. I'm
That's
sure
so
that
funny.
They were. Yeah.
I have that written down as in part of my notes, actually. Reminds me of the Yeah, Yeah, Yeah's.
Will hasn't talked about it in a while, but that was his big thing.
Right. You know. Oh, I've been a huge fan of them for a long time. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you go to the Wikipedia page, there's probably, you know, better biographies somewhere else. But there are so many bands that cite them as an influence, like the Cool People, you know, like Thurston Moore and Kevin Shields from My Bloody Valentine, Morrissey, The Edge, all kinds of cool artists cite them as an influence. So that's pretty cool. So it's kind of fun to go back and think about how that might have happened, you know, listen in that context. But yeah, it's all good. I'm gonna I'll make a pick and then we'll turn it over to Jeremiah. Let's I always pick number two, so let's do that again. Jigsaw Feeling. That's pretty cool for a 1978 punk or post-punk thing, whatever
fun,
you want to call
it.
Yeah.
Will, you took my pick.
I stole it.
It's a good one, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great.
That driving guitar and her voice, yeah, it's so good.
Susie Sue was the singer. That's not her given name. Now I have to find it. Susan Janet Balian, that was her given name. Have you ever read about how she chose the name Susie Sue or how the band chose her name? I have not.
No,
I have not either.
Yeah, I was wondering if she'd ever been accused of cultural appropriation.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Back then. They didn't talk about it.
Right.
1976.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's almost surprising that at that way back then that a young person in London would know enough about Native Americans to know about the Sioux Nation, you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, I wonder if that's where she got it from or when.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's got to be. There's S-I-O-U-X, S-I-E, Susie Sue. But, yeah, they met, or they didn't meet, but they kind of got the idea to start a band from seeing an early Sex Pistols show. It's amazing how many bands fall into that category.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, gosh, what a scene, huh?
Yeah.
How fun would have that been, you know, be in London from 1975 to 82 or something?
Yeah, oh my God. Right.
Yeah. So, and you were saying, yeah, that Morrissey said that they were an influence, and I thought I read somewhere, I can't find it now, but I thought one of the band members ended up being helping produce some of the Smiths albums and stuff too.
Yeah,
so they were all kind of hanging out with each other and doing, you know. So, yeah, what a fun, gosh, yeah, cool album. Yeah, thank you for introducing me to it. You know, in the 80s, it was more like I was really more familiar with the later stuff, you know, and the
right.
kind of, you know, new wave, kind of gothy side of it. And you know, you tried to be in a small, like, logging town in Oregon, try to know about stuff like this so that the the girls think you're cool or something, right? So, but I barely knew anything, but maybe there are some of the hits, like what was some of their big hits, like Hong Kong Garden or something like
that. Christine was a big one from their second album.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that one was. And that album, that second one, like you said, is just so different from this first first album. So, but yeah, really fun just to go back and listen to this. And, you know, me and Will have, I guess, good taste because Will took my pick. So I will have to pick another one. Let me see what I don't know this album well enough, but I think I liked number 8, Nicotine Stain.
We're seeing eye to eye on this because that I think that would have been my next pick, and then the last track that's kind of slow is pretty cool too. So I don't know, Barrett, did we pick the right tracks?
Yeah, I think so. I think we all did a fine job on that. Really, the only misstep I think is the cover of Helter Skelter.
I agree. Yeah,
kind of falls right in the middle. It's like, just kind of throws off the rhythm. It I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I was listening to it last week while putting something on the grill. I was firing up the grill, and I had it on, and the Helter Skelter came on. I thought, this doesn't fit, you know, and it's just, I don't know. But, yeah.
Kind of weird, though, to think that that song was only 10 years old at that time.
Wow, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Easy.
So.
Yeah, it'd be like doing a cover of a 2010 song now.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now they should cover a Yeah 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 song.
From 2010, that'd be perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, an interesting thing about the way she sings is it's got sort of a punk attitude, but then, you know, underneath all that kind of pseudo screaming and snarly attitude, she's a really good singer, right? So I guess that's kind of something in common with Karen O.
Yeah, no, her voice is just, spellbinding.
Which is always kind of cool, because it's like, well, we love singers who, I love singers who can't sing also, but but it's kind of cool when you can sing, and you're just sort of like, I'm not going to do it, because I don't want to sing like a singer. I want to sing like a screamer or whatever, you know?
Right.
It's cool.
No, and she's got a great voice, yeah. And that's really the anchor of it all, no? I mean, it's really...
Yeah, I think it...
Kind of the guitars, driving guitars, and her voice, really.
It all mixes together really well. So, cool. Fun pick, Barrett. Excellent. We might be up to $0 already. But let's make it even better. Are you guys ready to make it even greater than $0?
Let's do it. I'm not sure if my phone flashlight's going to last this long, but we better have to grab this next pick and then leave the vault to cover the next part.
All right. So, well, this is an old favorite of mine that I just got to listening to sort of in a happenstance a couple weeks ago, and I thought, man, I love this album. Let's talk about it. It's a band called The Teardrop Explodes, and they had, well, I consider them to have two albums. I think there was a third one that came out like a decade later, but they had one called Kilimanjaro in 1980, and then Wilder in 1981, and that's the one I wanted to talk about. The leader of this band, it's almost a solo project, I think, of Julian Cope, and he's an old rock and roll veteran from Liverpool. And this is in his early days. He kind of went, some people would call him an acid casualty. He kind of got, in fact, he had a solo album called Fried. And I was like, I remember my friends and I saying, yeah, this is probably self-descriptive. He's kind of fried. But he's kept putting out albums, and for me, most of them are pretty much unlistenable. but he had a phase with these two Teardrop Explodes albums and then a couple of solo albums that are just really great. I bet a lot of the listeners on this podcast haven't heard this, and I think it fits into a lot of what people would like, I hope. So there are so many good tracks, and I like it so much that I could play. There are a lot of different possibilities here, but I think let's start with the one that I think is probably like straight ahead catchy song. I do have a more contemporary artist to make a comparison to for this one. Maybe you guys will agree with me, but we'll wait on that. Let's play number 7, Passionate Friend.
The friend I have is a passionate friend, but I can't see my love. I dream of a love affair that's over past and crying. Celebrate great escape from lunacy, divided. I have not knew I'm seeing you, but nobody decided. A sound that's drifting out from you when the love has boiled away. Color shaven.
That song is so full of hooks. There's like a hook and then another one, and then he does the ba 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 thing. It's like,
right.
It's a kind of Brit poppy, about as catchy as he gets. But I love it.
What is that part you just mentioned? The ba 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 ba. What does that remind you of?
Probably something.
The Turtles.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, it's right out of Happy Together.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You can't have not just, like, directly taken that. Not like plagiarism, but just like, it's kind of an homage or whatever. But, yeah. Yeah, he's an interesting guy. I have not listened to his recent solo stuff. The last things I heard are like, you know, Peggy Suicide or whatever from like the mid-90s.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep.
That era. But, and yeah, I think he's thought of as an acid casualty, but you listen to his music for the first 10 or 15 years, and it's really catchy, poppy, maybe a little bit kind of oddball. He's kind of like a Syd Barrett sort of a guy, where, you know, the acid quality is, rather than it being like a dark influence, it's kind of a, you know, it comes out as like a wonderment and awe and, you know, just kind of a loopy character to it. But yeah, I really like this album. I had it for a while, and there are songs on here that I don't remember, so I didn't listen to it as much as I did to that compilation he put out in 92.
Mm-hmm.
With what was that called? Floor Genius, and it had like kind of the best of his solo stuff and the Teardrop Explodes, and so those are the songs that I knew best. And one of the ones on there is the eighth track, Tiny Children, so I'll pick that.
Yep. Another good one. That's sort of another category, yeah. Right? Where he does the sensitive, slow song.
Right. Right.
Mellow keyboards and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Jeremiah, did you have any familiarity with this?
No. Oh, my God. So. Thank you so much again for getting me on this. I knew of him, you know, and I think I listened to a couple of his solo stuff. Solo albums in the 90s, right? Late 80s, early 90s, something like that.
Yeah.
Mid-90s. But he was always just kind of this mysterious person. Like, who
right.
is this guy? You know?
Yep.
So this is interesting, just, yeah, digging into the kind of his inaugural band or as, you know, starting out band. And, you know, again, these guys are just super interesting. You know, this album kind of is a little bit all over the place, at least for me, I guess. Or like you said, you know, there's mellow stuff and then there's more upbeat. And I kind of liked number six, The Culture Bunker.
Teardrop Explodes. The album is Wilder. That was The Culture Bunker. Here's a trivia item. There's a line in that song where he says, waiting for the crucial three, wondering what went wrong. The Crucial Three was a band he had before The Teardrop Explodes. And another member of that band was Ian McCulloch from Echo and the Bunnymen.
Oh, wow.
How's that for a trivia item?
Cool. Yeah, I did learn that he was in that band, but I did not catch that little reference.
Cool. And you can imagine, like, an ego clash. You can't have those two guys in the same band. You just can't you can't do it.
Right. So, those two bands sound more alike than any other bands around 1980. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Both from Liverpool. They don't sound a ton alike, but they're each unique. And sound more like each other than they do, I think, anybody else.
Yeah, I think they're obviously both in my wheelhouse from back then.
Yeah.
I still love them. So, yeah, pretty cool. So, I could keep playing tracks by saying, wait, what about this one? You got to hear this one. But, you know, we've given a sampling. So go back and listen if you're inclined to. It's a classic in my mind. Probably what am I going to say? Top 25 for me, probably.
Well, it's interesting, even in that song, it goes from the bebop stuff, like almost from like the Turtles into Echo and the Bunnymen on the intro.
Yeah.
You know, basically it starts with that kind of older sound and then it goes straight into kind of new wave. So,
yeah.
Right.
There's another Julian Cope album that I think I might like even more than this one. It's his first solo album called World Shut Your Mouth. I was listening to it and thinking, God, I love this album. What a great album. I went back and read a little bit about it, and the article I read said that it generally got bad reviews. Like, people just did. And I think, like, how can an album that I love so much have gotten bad reviews? So maybe on an upcoming Vault episode, I'll talk about that one because it's just fantastic. Well, Julian Cope.
A lot of first albums of bands, you know, or solo projects of people got bad reviews when it first came out.
Yeah.
And then it got revised after, you know, over the years. You know.
So. But I think that that album and this one are probably the two where he's got the most sort of hooks and the whole thing is really coherent, whereas a lot of his other stuff is like, well, there's one or two songs that are kind of catchy and then he's just completely off the rails. So, well, the comparison I was going to make is Ariel Pink. Don't you think that Ariel Pink would cite Julian
right,
Cope
yeah,
as an
exactly,
influence?
Yeah.
Because he
yeah.
sort of has a similar where, you know, some of the songs are kind of like you can't understand what he's getting at. And then like a super catchy pop song will come on, you know.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, Ariel Pink, boy, they're have you guys ever seen them live or?
No.
No.
Oh, my gosh. They were like, I only saw them once, but it was like. It was, I don't know, it was like psychedelic chaos or something. It was just like all over the place. Like, and I mean, very, entertaining and interesting. But yeah, it seemed like, you know, their emotions were just all over the place, like switching back and forth between, you know, and their facial expressions. And I don't know if it was all just like... like for the show or if that's really how their mind works, but he had this like backup singer and she seemed like, I don't know, super super thin and skinny, and like her eyes were so wide like they're about to come out of her head. It was like, oh my goodness. I took a friend, he's like, this is a little too much for me. I don't know if I can do this. He's like, I could tell they're talented, but this is like really almost over the top. And like, oh my God, I forgot, Ariel Pink, he was only wearing these little tight, like jogging shorts and nothing else except a fanny pack, like, really tight around like his neck and his arm. And it was like super full, so it's like his whole life, everything is in there, you know, whatever's important is in that fanny pack, like, you know, about to strangle him and himself. And it was just, yeah, it was really interesting. They're all sweaty and it was a fun show, but it was definitely like like a head scratcher.
We ended up getting a live report even though we didn't think we were going to.
Yeah.
Right.
Pretty good.
Oh, yeah. 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
Okay.
Oh, goodness.
A lot higher than $0, right? I mean, I think it could be approaching the 50 cent level, I think. That's how good it was.
Yeah, I would think so, at least. Yeah, mid 40s, yeah. Something like that.
But then again, after missing a week, we're kind of just back to even now.
Uh-oh, right.
That's true. We missed a week.
I mean, we probably would have had to write a bunch of 50 cent checks.
Then we're only getting like 19 cents.
Yeah, the week with nothing, I guess that's below zero. Of course, it required no investment by the listeners. Maybe if they checked for a podcast and found out there wasn't one, then that'd be a little bit of negative value.
Well, it's like the first one you've missed, right? Or
I haven't missed too many. Other, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Hmm. So, anyway.
Well, that'll be a good trivia thing in the future.
I know,
right?
It's like who's the guy that had that long streak of baseball games? Was that Lou Gehrig?
Lou Gehrig and then, yeah, Cal Ripken.
Cal Ripken.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Am I mixing up like games played versus a hitting streak?
No, that you had it correct.
Was it games played? Didn't he play like, didn't Cal Ripken play like 3,000 games in a row or something?
Yes. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely all in a row. That was what the record was.
Yeah. So I guess we have to, the podcast streak, whatever it was at, it's going to have to reset.
Although, you know, sometimes just to keep the streak going, you know, maybe you'd come in and play a little bit and then, you know, exit the third inning. So what you could do is just come on and record a little bit, you know, and then that's it.
That's what I could have done. That's what I could have done last week, but I didn't. So it's too late now.
Oh, gosh.
It's called integrity.
Yeah.
All because the damn Comcast guy. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Inexcusable.
Inexcusable.
Yep.
I see by the battery count on my phone. I have 1%.
You're a 1%er. All right, that's perfect timing. Hopefully enough juice for you to say goodnight. So we'll talk to everybody again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
All right, take care of yourselves. Good night.
The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you each week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, with correspondents from the United States, Canada, England, and Australia. You can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or anywhere else podcasts are found. All of our episodes can be found at willsband.net. To contact us, send email to willsband@yahoo.com or find us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.